Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air. Once again, the show You Got This is a show of DIY do's and don'ts. And I'm zooming in here with Rosalie Brown down in Dana Point. I'm in lovely Grass Valley. And we're here to talk about DIY. But what's going on with you, Rosalie?
Well, Andrew, that sounded so rehearsed. Like I should have something planned.
We're winging it today. So
I do pretty well usually when I wing it. Everything finally works. Things fall into place somehow, right? Magic.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I'm excited because we're about to, I mean, depending on where you live in the country, you know, for me, the days are getting like warm again, but not hot yet. So it's kind of like that really nice, breezy. You know, I think we've talked about this. If I could set the thermostat for my everyday indoor outdoor, it'd be like 72.1 degrees because it's just nice enough. You don't actually have to have a sweater unless you want one. And then it's not so hot that you're like sweating. And I'm at that age where temperature does have more of an effect on me than it used to. I was picking at
same. I'm like, it's like, man, I didn't used to have a problem with the cold, and now at 53, I'm starting to have some problems with cold. It stinks.
It's weird because I'm actually like, yesterday, I was on a little hunt for, I've been really good about having things delivered, not going out, shopping locally, but having stuff delivered to me.
Yeah.
I'm still in that, like, trying to reduce my exposure. But I had to go out and get some stuff yesterday. It couldn't be helped. And it was a little chilly outside, so I had a light sweater on. And I had the mask on, and I'm in the store, and I'm looking for something. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm on fire. And I just wanted to, like, rip off my mask, rip off my sweater. And I was like, okay, this is definitely age-related, but because it wasn't quite that hot in the store. There's just no way it was that hot in the store. But but I've noticed that if I'm not in the exact, like, perfect temperature at all times, I'm trying to get there, putting more clothes on, taking more clothes off. It's constantly, my new hobby is having my internal thermostat work correctly. So that's fun.
It is fun. I know, speaking of perfect temperatures, so our son moved down to Mexico City about 6 months ago, and he came back for a little bit and has gone back out, but it's 70 degrees there pretty much every day. You know, it's kind of like that LA story with Steve Martin as the weatherman, and like 72 in LA once again, and that's kind of where he's at. It's just like it's pretty every single day there. So
he kind of deserves
Mexico
it
might be my future.
He kind of deserves it because he was legit like in Minnesota for not easy winters, you know. So
he spent 5 years in St. Paul, Minneapolis area. So
that's he earned his chops a little bit. Like he gets to kind of, you know, have good weather and
he's not making his friends happy that are still back there right now when they talk to him, because it's been, you know, in the negatives there, and he's like, I think I might have to put a light jacket on tonight because it might drop down to 60.
I feel his pain.
Otherwise, he's saying that no one wears shorts, so he has to wear pants, and that can be a little much sometimes when it's like 75 degrees, but he's getting used to it.
Yeah, he's making friends. But what a cool opportunity, you know, to be able to do that at his age and be able to kind of be, a citizen of the world, right? And like get to see all these cool places. And I think that's really great.
He's working on his language skills. Got a job down there. So yeah, life is good.
I work on my language skills every day. It's I'm also at that age. Speaking of ages. I really realized that. So when I was a younger person, I was a pretty, you know, prolific writer. I always got good grades and was always kind of doing people's work for them. And that's kind of how I got into PR and all that good stuff, is writing. And, you know, the vocabulary and the words just, Andrew, they were right there. And now I'm honestly, I'll be in the middle of a conversation, and I'm like, wait, did I make up a word? What word am I trying to think of? And if I'm typing now, I will literally go back and reframe an entire paragraph because I can't find the word. So there's a lot of age-related things happening to me. I'm having some realizations. That's what's happening here. What's happening there? That sounds like what you're doing might be more exciting than me because I'm just folding into my old age. What are you doing?
What am I doing? It's just acceptance, right? I mean, it is what it is. So, and I also, my wife's always she's been talking about she's having a harder and harder time remembering things. She's like, going into dementia? Like,
Not yet. Have her call.
But that's the fear, right? I mean, in your 50s, that's not going to happen. But, I'm kind of the oddity, though, is at this age, we've got, you and I both have adult kids, and even though they're adults, they still require quite a bit of energy and help. So I'm like, honey, it's like between our own lives, our children's lives, our business life, our pet's life, and then our friends' lives, there's a lot going on. So, you gotta give yourself a little bit of a break that you kind of forget things. Because I remember, in my teens and even in my 20s, it's like, what are you doing today? I don't know. I'm going to work. But, there wasn't a lot you had to worry about. There's no mortgage. You had to pay your rent. And you had to buy gas and you had to buy food and maybe beer. And that was the extent of my worries. So now it's a little different, right?
It is different. Yeah. I mean, so you're
a lot more up there, a lot more going on up there.
Your success kind of and how you make decisions kind of spiderwebs out into other people. And when you're young, everything you do just really is, it does revolve around you. It does impact you. And then the older you get, like everything you do has a spiderweb or butterfly effect. And it's interesting.
So
you
give yourself a break when you can't think of those words. Right.
I know.
A lot going on there.
It's true. But it's funny because when you talk about adult kids, I'm like, God, what is like? Okay, so one doesn't live with me anymore, and she, is on her own. But like when we talk, sometimes I'm like, wow, how do you get by? Like, I mean, just, there's still some life lessons that are still waiting to be blossomed, to harvest, to come to fruition. I'm like, wow.
She'll get there.
I know. I was like, that's an interesting choice. But, the cool thing about, when they get older is you just let them be them and just, you just gotta hold the space and,
And help support them a little bit, emotionally, financially, if you have to.
Right. So, I mean, sometimes I think that the pet thing was the easier road to hoe, but that's okay. You've got a couple dogs that keep me entertained every time I get on social media. So I'm living vicariously through yours. My pets are kind of broken. Yours are pretty lively and crazy. So they should have their own little channel.
We keep talking about our dogs are getting older, and we're like, God, no. I'm leaning towards not having dogs for a while, but my wife's not going to have that. But
no, she's
easier.
Not. I know,
life
I know,
would
but
be so much easier. You can
she's
travel.
Not going for that. Yeah, she's not going for that.
And you have to find a dog sitter when you travel and stuff. But yeah. So anyway, we should talk about DIY stuff. We've got you found this really cool project online for building.
Yeah, well, so let me, the segue is always like, well, what made me go there? What made me decide on that? And the quick answer is, I'm always looking for something that will be useful. But the bigger picture is I was like, well, we're hitting that. We're about to have the season shift again where we hopefully are coming out of the really cold weather and we're going to have more nice days out. And it's kind of we're getting to the point where you're probably starting to think about like projects and just like spring cleaning, that kind of stuff. And one of the things, when I've gone to visit friends that have a little bit of property, I don't see it much in the city, but I do when someone's got a little bit of a yard, you see these really cool backyard ponds. And I know from stuff I've done in my own backyard that they're not a really expensive. There's so many cool things you can do that aren't really expensive. It's just kind [S2] Yeah. [S1] Of having the big picture, kind of figuring out like, okay, well, what should I get to make that happen? That's always what my stumbling block is like, you know, what's a supply list? Like, what do I really need to make this happen? And then kind of like why it's important and just kind of how to get it done. And I just thought, you know, these backyard ponds, you can get real fancy and actually build an entire water feature around it. Or yeah. you can just have something that's kind of an interesting piece for you. If you have more land, you know, you can do a lot more things. But so anyway, that's how I landed on.
They're cool. And actually, I've got something to kind of go along with that. We're in the process of refinancing our house. And they sent out an appraiser. And I've got a water feature that we put in a couple years ago. And it actually helped raise the value of our house by like, you know, $2,000 to $5,000. I can't remember what it was, but it wasn't anywhere near what it cost to put it in, but it does add value to your property. So that was kind of, that felt cool.
Well, so. And the curb appeal, you know, like the point of having a yard is like, you know, I when I lived in the Bay Area many years ago, we bought a really cool house and it had a dual lot, but the lot was kind of a funny shape. And it was kind of hard to know what to do with it. And so we did a bunch of research and went online. And back then we even went to the library, if you can believe it, and looked at like Sunset Magazine and stuff. And if that's even still around. And we kind of had some ideas on like, you know, what to do with if you grade the land, what to do if you, you know. And we just had a weird shape and we ended up kind of maximizing it. And we had a couple different tiers and we put in a water feature. And it's just nice to be able to go back there and just chill out, you know, the sound of water and all that. And it just, so anyway,
it
so
is very meditative and nice. And we've got a couple to kind of mask out some of the road noise that we have.
And you can you can just keep improving them and just kind of building them, you know. So I thought a good place to start would be the backyard pond, and then you can kind of build from there.
But so we can talk about like the anatomy and what's actually involved in a water feature of some sort. Like, so you know, there's two ways to go about it. You can have like an open pool or an open pond, but you can also do a pondless water feature. When I was putting this feature in, I wanted to have standing water. I wanted to have a pond, but I was talking to our landscaper and a landscape architect, and they were both like, "Yeah, we rip out more ponds than we actually install these days, and put in waterless or pondless water features." Just because there's so much easier to take care of, I can attest to that. But basically, there's some basic components to it. You know, you've got an agitator, something that moves and oxygenates the water. So that could be a waterfall, bubblers, or just something that actually moves the water. And that's really beneficial because it keeps the water. It helps the microorganisms inside the water survive the anaerobic and aerobic microorganisms that eat up all the decaying matter and stuff like that.
You want to
have some kind of water filtration or water movement.
I was going to ask you about that. So as far as you understand, does the agitator help at all with, because my big concern about any water in the backyard is going to be mosquitoes. Do you know anything about, does the agitator help with that?
The agitator doesn't do anything. It doesn't really do anything for mosquitoes. You know, I've got one fountain that's probably about, you know, 50 gallons or something like that. That's open water, and I've got a goldfish in it, and he takes care of the mosquitoes and all the other bugs that get in there. And
a goldfish? I did not realize that.
And the goldfish are, oh my gosh, this goldfish I was thinking about. We literally moved this goldfish from our last house. We've been here for 5 years. That goldfish has got to be 8 or 9 years old, and I don't feed him. He just eats the algae and the bugs that fall in there. And the last water feature I had, I didn't do anything for them. So, they're just hardy. And our last one, I took them from our water feature up on top of Banner Mountain. So it would freeze every year. And they're perfectly fine in a pond that gets a cake of ice on top of it. They're hardier than heck, much better than the little mosquito eaters that you can buy. The goldfish are great.
That's crazy, because when you think about the goldfish that you win at the fair and they come home and they're dead 2 days later.
Yeah.
That's just so crazy. So instead of putting him in a bowl in my living room or my kid's room, if I were to put him in a water feature, he would have a much better life and actually be useful. Yeah. That is something.
And I just, you know, I went to the pet store and bought a bag. And I mean, I got like 10 or 20 feeder fish. You know, they're like a dime each. So you feed them to bigger fish. And, just let them loose, and then the ones that survive are the ones that survive, and the ones that die are the ones that die. So, yeah, and that one's, like I said, it's been around forever. So, yeah, that takes care of mosquitoes.
Legendary.
So, and then they talk about a filter, but a filter can be, you know, it could be anything from like like my filter on my water feature is just the gravel. As the water goes through it, it works as a biological filtration system. I don't have any mechanical. So you don't necessarily have to have like a filter to take out larger debris.
Good. So I'm sorry. So we're going to just kind of do a recap on this at the end so that we list out all the parts you would need for the pond, right? Okay.
Then you need a liner. So you need some way of keeping the water from going. If you are putting a pond under in the ground, you need some way of keeping the water from going into the ground. So you need some sort of liner. And that's just essentially a piece of plastic. It's a type of plastic. I can't remember the name of it, but the acronym for it. But anyway, then you need an underlayment, something that will help protect it. And I've read a lot of stuff on it. You could just, you know, some of the best stuff to use is carpet. So, you know, go to your local carpet guy and say, hey, can I get some carpet that you're ripping out? Because you're just going to be putting underground. You can pick it up for free, pull it out of a dumpster. Works great. Then you need some kind of pump for water circulation. And that, you know, that gets you into a whole different kind of thing. Like, how much water are you actually trying to move? And they'll typically be rated gallons per hour. So depending on the feature, will determine what size water pump. And then you need some way of powering that. So you need some kind of power source. So a GFCI, and we talk about that on the electrical shows a lot. And the GFCI is a ground fault circuit interrupt. So if something were to happen to the pump, like a short circuit or something like that, there's the potential for it to energize the water. So when you touch it, you can get electrocuted, so you want to have this GFCI to protect you from the electrical. And then, so like, what does something like this cost? So, you know, you can get a little starter kit at a home center for, you know, under $100, and then you can go way up. You know, most of them, you know, typical pond, like the one I've got, probably cost us in material and labor and stuff, because I hired somebody to dig it, because I don't like digging holes anymore. I think I spent probably about, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 on it, but you know, it's not unheard of to spend $5,000. But I've also seen some that are just beautiful. A friend of mine's a landscape architect, Elizabeth Poston. If you're looking for a good architect, she's awesome. They can be, you know, $50,000 to $100,000. I've seen, you know, that was one thing I was really shocked when I moved up here, and living in San Francisco and living in the Bay Area, I didn't realize how much landscaping can cost. And you move up here, and it's not uncommon for people to spend $100 to $200 on up for landscaping. So anyway, water features, really cool. So that's kind of gives you an idea. Another question is this something that you do yourself or hire a pro? It kind of depends on where your level is. You know, a simple one, do it yourself. It's kind of fun. A bigger one, like what we did, where we dug a hole that was 10 by 5 by 3 feet deep. That's a deep hole. It's a lot of dirt. So yeah, I had one of our laborers do that, because I didn't want to move that much dirt.
That would put you out of commission for days, by the way.
Oh yeah, it did. Anyway, moving the rock put me out of commission for about 2 weeks.
I remember.
Yeah, it was brutal. Do you hire, where do you hire a professional? Doing a GFCI, if you're not comfortable with electricity, definitely hire somebody. And even if you are comfortable with electricity, you know, do your research and make sure you're doing it right, because electrical, you know, this is one of those things that can kill you. So, you know, be very cautious about electrical. So yeah, those are the kind of things where you'd probably want to hire somebody to do it. The rest is relatively easy. It's putting a liner in, putting an underlayment under the liner to protect it, putting liner in, putting some kind of rock features in there, and then working on the pumping and such and water features, and you're good to go.
If you were going to, so I know that you just said, you know, we just went all over the place about money, but so if I were going to do, let's just say something kind of basic, let's call this a real DIY, like a traditional homeowner with a bit of experience, isn't going to do anything too elaborate. If your main parts that you have to buy are the agitator, the filter, the liner, you said the underlaminate, is that what it's called?
Underlaminate, yeah. It's just okay. It's just something to protect, something in between the dirt,
which could,
so
which
if there's
be
any
free.
Rocks or anything.
Okay, which yeah, could be free. And then your pump.
I would highly recommend getting, yeah, carpet. It's best.
So if you were to do just kind of like those basics and do something rather simple, do you have any kind of ballpark estimate for what you think that someone could kind of gather those supplies for?
Yeah, I mean, you could do it for, with an underlayment and a good, a decent pump and some other kind of things, you're probably talking $500 to $1,000 range for an in-ground. But you could also just go with one of the, like they have a plastic one, like a tub.
Yeah.
That you can get at a DIY store, and those would probably be cheaper, but they're a lot smaller.
Yeah.
And they're a little trickier, only because you've got to make the hole the right shape of the bowl,
okay.
And you want to have some sand in there to protect it, so that it doesn't put a hole, like a rock, poke a hole through it.
Oh yeah, something I would do. Whoops.
Yeah, a liner is a lot easier. You can pick up a liner for under $100, and the pumps for about $100. So, you know, all in, you're probably, for a small one, for, you know, a little, you know, 3x3 or 5x5, you're probably talking hundreds, not thousands.
Okay. And then you think that, again, with no major kind of issues, and let's just say everything ran smoothly, knowing that it never does, but would you say this is something that would be, someone could do on like a Saturday, or do you think it would be like a whole weekend, or do you think it's
multiple
days?
It'd be a couple
days?
Weekends.
Okay.
Depending on how much digging and depending on how fast you are to dig and
okay.
your soil conditions. I mean, yeah, that's one of the things we kind of know working in the area. There's some places that are, some parts of the county are really easy to dig, and some parts of the county is this rock city, and it'll take you forever to dig. So that's the big one.
I mean, when I had a fairly huge, plot in Nevada City, like one part of my yard was absolute, like, hard rock.
Yeah.
Like, it was hard. And then the rest of it was really soft and soily. And so it was even
yeah.
on the same property, I had a yeah. wide range of where you could dig and where you couldn't. And of course, naturally, the best part of the whole thing was that the area to get to my sewer, right, that was with the hard, rocky clay, like really difficult
yeah.
part to dig. And then the rest of it, where it was just like natural ground cover, that was soft, that was like pliable. It was like, wow, this is tough. It's not easy to do work on a house in Nevada City or Nevada County, because you do have all the different,
bulk conditions.
Yeah. Soil, I don't know what else to call it, but it's
And then you have lava domes where you have just really shallow soil, and then you got literally just granite right underneath your
right.
underneath the ground. So it's crazy. So anyway, yeah, so you got to know what you know what you're getting into. But yeah, it's something that can take a couple weekends.
Okay.
And you could do something really nice. And you know, the thing that you really want to pay attention to is look at, like, when I did it, I really wanted to make the stream look natural. So
okay.
I looked at a lot of pictures of streams, and I looked at a lot of pictures online on Pinterest and other places for man-made ones, just
right.
to kind of get an idea, because you don't want just like a straight, if you're doing a stream,
right,
you don't want a straight one, you want to have a kind of meandering kind of thing. But
right,
it's
and
a fun project.
And I know I've seen what you've done, and you've done a great job, and there we are already at the end of our show.
Yeah.
So
it's
wow.
crazy, isn't it? It's like, wow,
yeah.
we just, hopefully you guys got something out of this. I really like my water feature. We've talked about it before, and it soothes me in the evening. This time of year I haven't really been out much, but we did have a birthday celebration for my wife the other night, and had six people over outside with fire pits, but the water feature, just so soothing, so quiet, it's so nice. But anyway, so if you need any, we don't do water features, just to let you know, but we do any plumbing, electrical, heating, or air problems. If you have any of those kind of issues, please give us a call at 530-272-9120, and we are hiring. If you know anybody that wants to jump ship and join a fabulous team, send them our way. And again, 530-272-9120. You can also find us on the web at Easy as ABT and on Facebook. And with that is our show, and we'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.